The purpose of Sufi music is to create the sama or atmosphere to experience one love. These sounds produce in the listener a connection with that which is beyond the material plane, surrounding the listener totally to a space where one can merge with the highest. First of all, it would be great to know a little bit how it went into this work, how your compositions, your singing and all these wonderful instruments, how did this CD happen and how did you choose to make a Sufi music album?
Well, from a very young age, I have been fascinated with Sufi music. Especially when you grow up in India and you are a student of music, you are exposed to various forms of music. As most of my audience knows that I do a lot of work in the genre of sacred music, and Sufi music definitely falls in the genre of sacred music. Almost more than 20 years ago, I had made my first Sufi album called Sufi Splendor, which was very specifically for whirling meditation. As some of the listeners might know that whirling is a beautiful meditation technique, and a lot of people practice that as a path to dissolution, to dissolve. So that was a long time ago, and since then, of course, many compositions and songs had been kind of channeled, you can say. So there was already a big collection of melodies and songs related to the Sufi music. So finally, I decided that a new Sufi album should come out. And so now it is here in the name of Salame Sufi. As far as Sufi music is concerned, it is not only limited to the Asian continent, especially the South Asia, like India and Pakistan. There is a big world of Sufi music in the Middle East, especially, and even in the countries like Armenia and Kazakhstan and all those countries. So Sufism is a path which is practiced in all these places, primarily, as well as now, of course, some people in the West also practiced. But through the migration of people, Sufism had also been accepted in India. And because India already had a background of sacred music, spiritual music. So some people say that the Sufis, when they came here, they got very inspired by this culture, their attitude towards spirituality and self-exploration. So then a different kind of Sufi music got birth in this continent, in this part of the world, and it has kept on growing since then.
When one looks at these songs and their lyrics, one can see that a lot of these songs are full of this subject of love and the beloved, or to be in love, and and as I know, because these are spiritual songs, not so much worldly subject is in them. So can you explain a little bit how is all this happening with these lyrics that refer so much to the beloved and to love?
Sure. As you mentioned, Sufism is considered path of love. It is also known as path of devotion, what is also known as bhakti. So in Sufism, the whole relationship is between the devotee and the divine. And the divine can be in the physical form of a master, or maybe a direct connection with the invisible essence of divinity. So you will find that a lot of Sufi songs has this angle, dimension and flavor of love. But this love is not between a man and woman, or a mother and a child, or anything like that. But it's what in Urdu we say, Ishq Hakiki. Ishq is love and haq means truth. So the love affair with the truth. So a lot of this Sufi poetry is drenched with this beauty and passion and longing of this kind of love. Second thing is that in many of the Sufi music, which is primarily played and sung in India and what is now Pakistan, there have been a lot of Sufi saints in both these regions, even now and in the ancient India. And all these Sufi mystics wrote some amazing poetries down the centuries, down the ages. And if you understand a little bit, or if you read the translation, you will see a beautiful phenomenon where you will see that the writer, though he may be a male or a female, but he or she always addresses himself as her, as a feminine, and the master or the divinity as the male. Because they must have understood that to dissolve yourself on this path of what we call annihilation, or to path of dissolve, one has to have that feminine quality. If you have this kind of male, strong, egoistic approach, you cannot dissolve, you cannot melt, you cannot disappear. So this is a very poetic and beautiful expression in all the Sufi poetry, especially in this region of India and Pakistan, that the writer always appears to be either a das, like a servant, like not servant in the normal sense, but the one who is always ready to offer himself, and the master as the main deity or main divinity in the male form.
I was seeing in your official release video of this album that the song featured is the first one in the CD, which is Mastana, Madly in Love. As I understand, is dedicated to Kabir. So what is the influence or the contribution, and what inspired you to compose this song for Kabir?
Yeah, it is not dedicated to Kabir. It is written by Kabir. Kabir has been a saint who was born around the area of Varanasi, Banaras, or Kashi, as we know. He was basically an abandoned child, which was raised by a couple. And I believe either the father was a Muslim and mother was Hindu, or other way around, I'm not sure. But basically they were both following different paths. So these parents of two different religions raised Kabir. And because of that, Kabir never identified with any one particular region or one particular path. So many people consider Kabir as a Sufi. And Kabir has such an amazing place of honor and significance as far as the spiritual poetry is concerned, that no concert, like a devotional music concert in India, is ever complete without one song of Kabir. So Kabir, any singer in India especially, would have always sung at least once a song of Kabir. And then there are music tribes, musical communities, which only and only sing songs of Kabir. They don't sing anything else. Because within the message of Kabir, within the wisdom of Kabir, there is so much. Kabir wrote so many different poetries that you could spend your whole life singing them and you will never still reach the end. So this is the significance of a saint like Kabir. And there is a beautiful story about his death, that, you know, by the time he left his body, he had many disciples, both Hindus and Muslims. So when he died, there was a little bit of a sweet fight between the disciples, that Hindus were saying that, well, we should cremate him according to the Hindu style, and Muslims were saying, no, we should bury him. So there was a little bit of a struggle between them. And the story is saying that the body of Kabir was lying covered with a white sheet, and no conclusion was reached. And at some point, the wind blew the white sheet flew away. And the story says that there was no body of Kabir there, but there was only flowers. Now, this could be a symbolic story, but basically that was the essence of Kabir's whole teaching, that you are beyond all these religious and social identities. And Kabir actually really hammered the ritualistic path of religions and things like that. And he was waking up people that, no, all you really need to do is discover your true nature of the self. You can enjoy doing all these things, but if you think only these things will take you across, then no. So Kabir has that very, 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 very respected place, not only in the Indian culture, but in the world of music also. One of his most well-known songs is called Mastana. Haman hai ishq mastana, which means I am pure love, I'm in love, blissed out. Then why should I be so vigilant? Why should I worry now? Because I'm just in love. I'm blissed in love.
How beautiful. Out of the 7 songs that are in the album, do you have any other you find very deep or very inspiring?
You know, there, as you said, there are 7 songs on this album. And of course, as a composer and as a creator, every song is beloved to me. So it's hard to choose. But I can just give you a little bit taste of some of them. There are 1 or 2 songs which are also carrying the tradition of what you call zikr. This is also a certain technique in the path of Sufism. Zikr means remembering or mentioning the name of God. So I've taken chants like La ilaha illallah, which means there is no God but only God. And maybe some of you know that people who practice this zikr, they get together in a circle and they chant this over and over again. It's very similar to mantra chanting, but different language and different lyrics. Another song, which is from another Sufi mystic called Bulle Shah. And just like we talked about Kabir, who has this amazing place whenever a kirtan is done, the poetry of Bulle Shah is always present in any Sufi concert, especially in India and Pakistan. So no Sufi concert is complete without 1 song from this Sufi mystic called Bulle Shah. And there are beautiful stories of his relationship with his master and how his master took him across to the dissolution, to what they call fana. Fana means to sacrifice, but sacrifice the ego, not the physical body, but the so-called identity, so-called self. And once he became enlightened, he wrote some amazing songs, amazing poetry. So there is a song called Bismillah, which also is a very beautiful composition and beautiful poetry, where Bulle Shah has taken a symbol of the color festival of Holi from India. So I'm sure the listeners will enjoy. And then one of my most favorite is a song called Masti. Masti means bliss, joyful bliss, like an intoxicated bliss. And there is beautiful instrumentation and beautiful vocals by my band. And I have a special guest from Turkey who has played beautiful ney, duduk and other instruments. And our daughter is also singing some beautiful lyrics there. So audience will enjoy that too.
I was really impressed by also the last track, Teri Rasa Surrender, because it has no rhythm, it has no instruments, it's only pure voice. So I think it reaches very deep the listener, because it's a moment of a lot of peace and a lot of silence. And I think it's a great conclusion for the CDs, because in the end, one goes into silence.
Yes, I kept that song especially in the end, because the song talks about surrender. So when surrender happens, then in a way, one journey ends and a new journey begins. So it's a rebirthing process. And if you read the translation of this song, Teri Raza means your will. So the devotee is saying that let your will be fulfilled. Your meaning the divine's will. I don't want to bring my own personal desires and wants and demands. I'm going to surrender to the higher will. And this poetry actually is very close to my heart because I, many years ago, I saw it in the diary of my spiritual master, Gurudev. So I secretly copied it in my own songs book. And this must have been almost 20 years ago. But this poetry always stayed with me. And then at some point, the melody came. And finally, so you can say 20 years later, this is now coming as a song. So Teri Raza Surrender, yes, we kept it in the end.
Yeah, one could almost say that going through each of these songs and interpreting them rightly is almost like a spiritual book where one gets a lot of lessons on life, no? Yes. According to all the things you were saying about each of these.
Yeah, because Sufism is that path. Sufism is a path of joy, path of celebration, path of surrender, path of bhakti, path of devotion, path of dissolution. It's not a very intellectual path. One doesn't have to do any kind of self-inquiry or anything. One has to just flow with the flow of life in a mode of gratitude, in a mode of, you know, giving up all so-called struggle. So I think the combination of these seven songs is reflecting, in my personal understanding, that path in a musical way. And in, of course, in the path of Sufis, music has a very central place. I was exposed to even playing a lot of Sufi music when I was in the Osho Community International. And we used to experiment with different musicians around the Sufi genre. So all that really helped me to build a certain sense, along with, of course, listening for 20, 30 years, musicians like Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, one of the best Qawwali singer, or Abida Parveen, one of the most beautiful female Sufi singer, and of course many more from India. So of course I'm nowhere close to their great talent, but these have been my inspiration, and these inspirations have come here. Also, I would like to mention that there is one song which, I'm not a poet, I'm not a writer, but sometimes poetry come. And one song was written called Tu Hai Kamal. And
what does it mean?
Tu Hai Kamal means you are a miracle. And this was written for my beloved wife, Sa. So that's also a beautiful love song. And I think it fits very much in the theme of the album.
Yeah, it's a very, very uplifting album. And also one can see by the reviews that one can find online that people usually feel that feeling of being uplifted, and you know, one can dance, one can just listen, one can walk in a beautiful place with his music, one can walk through a city with his music.
Yes.
And I think it's very, very uplifting.
Yeah, it's a joyous album. It will leave you with a nice smile on your face.
Yeah, and I heard that a lot of these songs you have been doing also in some of your live performances.
Yeah, of course. Many of the songs have evolved over the years. So you can say this is the most ripened presentation of all those songs.
Okay, Manish, so we thank you very much for this interview and the details about the Sufi music and your album Salam e Sufi, which is available in all the music platforms and also in your website for download and for physical CD to buy if anybody still is playing CDs in CD player. And well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah.